Well, we're going to listen to God's word read to us now, so grab your Bible, turn with us to John chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. That's John chapter 3, verse 1 to 21, and we're going to hear it read to us by Stefan and Grace.
Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things?"
"Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God."
Well, I have a grandson. His birthday was last week. He's 2. I can't believe it. We couldn't be there, but we saw his response to some of the presents at least. And because he's 2, it's so different from last year. When he was just 1, of course, the wrapping paper, the box the toy was in was far more interesting. But now he's 2, he sees the gift and he realises its worth and he rejoices in it. Or in his words, "Wow." We're in a huge time of difficulty, aren't we? Yes, the rate of infection and deaths are decreasing, but we're still faced with the ongoing threat of contagion and infections and even death. It's a time that makes us think, isn't it? Nationally, apparently, 25% of non-churchgoers have tuned into church services. They're thinking, but it's important that we don't just see the wrapping paper or the box, that we find the message that we ought to hear. In today's passage, we meet a man who's coming to find out. He's unsure, even maybe a little embarrassed to be there. He knows he needs to find out more, but he's coming with the wrong ideas. He's looking at the wrapping paper, if you like, the box, but not seeing the gift. But there's a gift from God that's there to be found, and it's so important. What I long for you to see today is that Jesus is God's gift. He's the only hope of new life. He's the only hope of real meaning and purpose in life. And more than that, he's our only hope of eternal life, death defeated, and certainty and peace, no matter what we might face. So I want to see, first of all, from this passage, that Jesus is greater than the greatest teacher. We'll see that in verses 1 and 2 of our Bible passage. Now, we meet Nicodemus here. He's a very important man who's achieved so much. You can see it in verse 1. We'll talk more about that later. And he comes to Jesus at night, actually. Again, we'll talk more about that later. But did you see what he said? It's a little bit strange, isn't it? He kind of makes a statement, but he doesn't actually ask a question, does he? Verse 2, he says, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him." What's that all about? It's a really weird way of meeting someone, isn't it? Well, it points us to what Nicodemus has got wrong. You know, he knows there's something so much more about Jesus. He calls him Rabbi. He's heard Jesus speak, and he speaks like no other person. There's no teacher like him. He says, you've come from God. There's an authority that's there, which he recognizes. And he said, he talked about the miraculous signs that Jesus has done, but he's not so amazed at the signs, but what the signs say of Jesus. You see, it's a bit like the disciples in the storm, when Jesus calmed the storm, and they said, who is this that even the waves obey him? And Nicodemus sees that. But he still calls him Rabbi, doesn't he? He knows there's something more about Jesus, but he can't see beyond his own experiences. Generously, he thinks Jesus must be an amazing teacher, but he's got it all wrong. You know, we can meet people and get things all wrong, can't we? In my work as a director of studies at university, the dean of faculty was a professor, Belle Burnell. Jocelyn she was to me. I knew her and I worked with her. I really respected her, but I'd missed something vital. You see, she was a Nobel Prize winner for physics. If only I had known that, what I would have asked her. And Nicodemus missed Jesus, and maybe you have too. Just a great teacher, just an historical figure, or maybe you even doubt that Jesus existed. And believers too as well. And maybe he's only your saviour, but there's no real life impact of Jesus every day. Don't get your attention on the stuff here. We need to see Jesus because he is the one who is the real gift. So Jesus is greater than the greatest teacher. But secondly, we see that Jesus here alone can meet our greatest need, verses 3 to 13. With my grandson last year, we had to clear away the paper and actually show the toy to him. And Jesus kind of does the same thing for Nicodemus. Have a look at verse 3 here. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And that works, doesn't it? Verse 4, how can someone be born again? Nicodemus said, born again? Of course you can't. But that's the very point, isn't it? And I've got some amazing news for you. Have a look at this photo. My son and daughter-in-law are expecting another baby due in November. But that baby at the moment is only the size of a tangerine or maybe a lime. My grandson, 2 years old, and he's so big, he couldn't possibly fit back in the mother's womb. So Nicodemus, he's not just being silly when he said, I can't go back into my mother's womb. He was being realistic, wasn't he? He knew the truth. I can't possibly be born again. But you see, that was the point. Jesus was trying to tell him something that was really important. He cannot do this himself. He cannot give himself a new life. So let's dig into it just a little more. Have a look at verses 5 and 6 here. Jesus says, flesh gives birth to flesh. Well, we know that, don't we? We can have babies. But what's wrong with us isn't merely what's external, what is flesh, is it? It's our hearts. We know it. How often in the day do we have angry thoughts, or do we think lustful thoughts, or do we hurt people, or does hatred come out from our lips? And where does it come from? Well, maybe we have been hurt by others, but more often than not, it's from our hearts, isn't it? It's a bit like this. This is a tree that was in my garden. It came down just about a week ago. And when we were chopping it up, we could see the reason. There was ivy growing right through the centre of it. It was being destroyed from inside. It was dying. Now, it wouldn't have mattered how much I cleaned up the outside. The tree was doomed. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. There's never been a more religious group of people. They had rules about everything to try and clean the outside up. For example, you couldn't look at a mirror on Sunday just in case that was work. Now, ladies and possibly men, that might be a big problem. But they tried the hardest to get everything right, but it just didn't have any real impact because it's all about externals. And Jesus was simply saying, that just won't work. We need something that's going to deal with our inner life, the true self. Spirit gives birth to spirit. It's something that only God's Spirit can do. Now, Nicodemus is struggling with this idea in verse 9. He says, how can this be? He spent his whole life trying to better himself, hasn't he? He was the very greatest of the Pharisees of that day. But verse 11 says, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know. He knows, actually, that it doesn't work in the depths of his heart. No man can deal with the real need. And so in verse 13, Jesus says, no one can get to heaven. No one has been to heaven apart from the Son of Man. He is the only one who has been with God. He is God himself. He is the only one who can help us. And so you see, Jesus is greater than any teacher, but also Jesus is the only one who can meet your greatest need. And that brings us to the real point that Jesus is trying to do. He's pointing out the gift rather than the wrapping paper, if you like. Jesus is God's gift for you in verse 14 to 17. How can Jesus meet your real need? Well, verse 14 tells us a story that Nicodemus would know very well. The Israelites were in the wilderness, and yet again they grumbled. They were such a grumbling people. And God sought to draw them back to himself by sending venomous snakes among them. It was a snake pandemic of its day, and there was no cure. But God had mercy on them. He sent a way of being saved, a bronze serpent that Moses was told to put on a pole and to lift it up. And if you looked at it, you would live. They totally deserved to perish. They couldn't solve it for themselves, but God provided a way. And all of this points to Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, who would come for us and who would be put on a pole, who would be raised on a cross so that those who look to him shall live. Why does God do this? Well, have a look at verse 16, such a famous verse. Because God so loves that he sent his only begotten Son. You see, God is the only answer. He is the answer. If only we can see and trust in him, he is God's gift for us that brings life. I knew a man somewhat older than me called Trevor. He was an atheist. There was no God, according to him. But he was so impressed by the Christians he met. They had given him a Bible and it lay unopened for a long time. He poured scorn in it, but he, like Nicodemus, he kind of knew there must be something more. One night he couldn't sleep and he opened up John's Gospel and he started to read. And he got to this verse that God so loved that he sent his only Son. And he realized that he couldn't do anything about it, but that God had done everything for him. And so he realized that he needed to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And that very night, he came to know the reality of Jesus working in his heart to give him new life and new hope. This morning, I want you to know that God so loved you. I'll say that again. God so loves you that he sent his Son Jesus to die for you. Terrible death. Not just the physical death, but God put all your sin upon him and he took the punishment that you deserve. Why? Because you're nice enough? Well, not at all. Because you have no other hope. Jesus is God's gift for you. Only he can meet your real need. He is far more than a teacher. He is the gift of God for you because God so loves you. And so fourthly, we need to see that he is the gift that you need. Verse 18 to 21. You know, Nicodemus had everything going for him. He was a Pharisee, verse 1. He had moral obedience sorted. He had all these sets of rules that he had to obey. He was a ruler, verse 1. He'd made achievement. He'd got a great achievement in his life and he had his work sorted. And in verse 10, we see he's called the teacher of Israel by Jesus. He had knowledge of scripture sorted, but he still hadn't got the answers to the sin and to his life and to his future. And he knew he needed more. Yet did you notice back in verse 2 how he came to Jesus? He came at night. We said we'd come back to that. And here we are. He was ashamed, you see, to admit his need. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you know you haven't got the answers. Maybe you feel like you should be able to sort it out for yourself, and yet there's something nagging telling you that you just can't, you need something more. And these last verses of this passage, they're a stark warning for us, aren't they? Have a listen to them from verse 18 up to 21. Whoever believes in him, in Jesus, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict, that light has come into the world, but people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come to the light, for they fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it can be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. What it's saying is that just like Nicodemus, we have this pride in our hearts. We don't want to expose the reality of the destruction within, even though we know something's wrong. And so we're kind of ashamed when we come to God, but God needs to expose that destruction within our lives. You know, it's possible to hear all this, to understand it all, but not come to know the reality of sins forgiven. Like my grandson last year, we can entirely miss the gift that God has given through his Son. Jesus is the gift you need. Only he can say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Only he has said, it's finished, it's all done, I have paid the whole price. And if you've never come to know him, you need to come to know him right now. You know, if you have suddenly realized that, rather like Nicodemus, you've come and you need something, but you don't know how to get it. But Jesus is the answer. You can come today. And just like Nicodemus, you can see that Jesus is the one who you have to look at and can live. You need to confess that, yes, I have turned away from you, Lord. That Lord, thank you for dying for me. Lord, I want you to forgive me for all my sins and to give me this new life, this gift which I cannot do for myself. Maybe you need to do that this morning. But you know, it's not just for those of us of us who have not yet come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. It's also for those of us who have come to know him as Saviour, because you know, we can come to that point and not actually let his Spirit work in our hearts. So we've come to know salvation, but not the fullness of that new life that he has led us into. This is Pentecost Sunday. This is the time when we remember that the Spirit was sent by God. Why was the Spirit sent by God? Because it's the Spirit that gives new life. But it's the Spirit that brings that new life every single day within us. As we thought at the start, walking with Jesus should be an adventure. New things every day as God's Spirit works in us to give us newness of life. I wonder whether you've been coming to church maybe for years after years, and kind of you've been looking at the paper, the stuff that we do, the songs that we sing, and all that we have as traditions in church, and you've missed the real thing, that the real thing is Jesus. He is God's gift to you. And by his Spirit, he brings us new life. And maybe today you need to come also and to come and to accept that gift of new life, fullness of life, life in all its fullness that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may God bless us from his word as we see this wonderful gift that God so loved this world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but has everlasting life.